a U.S. federal court judge ruled that the EPA was responsible for re-evaluating its guidelines around safe fluoride levels in public water. In this same court case, the EPA could not state under oath that they actually knew what a safe level of water fluoridation was. Mass fluoridation of public water is an archaic, backdated practice, especially when we consider the source. We are literally taking industrial waste and dumping it into our public waterways and forcing people to consume it. So what can we do? One, what if I told you that something that has been called one of the greatest public health initiatives of our lifetime could actually be a serious danger to your health? Water fluoridation has been promoted as a public health benefit for making teeth stronger and preventing tooth decay since the 1940s. But what if it actually poses serious risks to our brain, our bones, and even our consciousness? Today, we'll explore the origins of water fluoridation, whether there's legitimacy to the claim that it prevents cavities, and the greater risks to our health, including neurotoxic brain damage, damage to our pineal gland, and even our spiritual development. I'm Dr. Nirvani Umadat, a dentist, researcher, and entrepreneur. And through this podcast, I show you how to tap into the innate intelligence within you and elevate your mind, body, and soul so that you can become superhuman. So let's sink our teeth into this topic. For those unfamiliar with water fluoridation, it is the practice of adding fluoride to public drinking water so that it can be ingested systemically for the purposes of preventing tooth decay. It started in the US in the 1940s and it quickly spread worldwide as a public health initiative to strengthen teeth and prevent tooth decay. The idea that fluoride added to enamel can actually cause the enamel to become harder, stronger, and more resistant to cavities is the reason this public health idea spread like wildfire, not only within North America, but around the world. Especially for communities that were limited to dental care, this seemed like a cure-all for cavities. But here's the issue. We are not talking about fluoride that is naturally occurring within soils and sediment that can end up in trace amounts in waterways. We're talking about fluoride that has been added through synthetic compounds like sodium fluoride, that are actually byproducts and waste products of industrial processes. So things like phosphate fertilizer and aluminum processing, these are industrial practices that result in fluoride waste, which is actually a hazardous waste. So these industries are technically responsible for the safe handling and disposal of these dangerous, hazardous wastes. And instead of holding that responsibility within the industries for safe disposal and removal, these massive industries have actually turned their waste into a revenue-generating income stream through selling their fluoride waste, literally selling their garbage, to municipalities, which then take that fluoride waste and put it into public drinking water. In North America, over 75% of public water is fluoridated. In the 1940s, when this initially became a public health push to reduce cavities, water fluoridation was not only adopted throughout the United States, but actually spread around the world. Since then, many countries have actually banned the practice. Now, most of Western Europe and Japan do not fluoridate their waterways at all. In the world of dental public health, the DMFT score is a way to assess the effect that something is having on overall dental health of a population. It stands for decayed, missing, and filled teeth, DMFT. So the lower the DMFT score, the better. You don't want decay, you don't want missing teeth, and you don't want filled teeth because that means those teeth had cavities in them at one time. So if the public health benefit of adding fluoride to the water is that it strengthens teeth and makes teeth more resilient against developing decay or developing cavities, it would follow that countries that are fluoridating their water should have lower DMFT rates than countries that do not. But when we actually look at the data that is out there, we see that countries like Japan, Germany, Sweden, Denmark, the Netherlands, all of these countries do not fluoridate their public water, and their DMFT scores are lower than countries like Canada or the United States, where, as I just mentioned, over 75% of public drinking water is in fact fluoridated. So the idea or the thesis that fluoridation and this sodium fluoride industrialized waste additive form of fluoridation is a method to strengthening tooth enamel and preventing against tooth decay doesn't really hold up when we assess the data that is now available to us. And now more and more research is coming out questioning the safety of fluoride exposure, especially at the systemic level. There are now many studies that show that fluoride intake has been linked to neurotoxicity. So toxicity within the brain and toxicity actually affecting different nervous channels and nerve firing. It's been linked to thyroid dysfunction. And the fluoride actually competes with iodine, which is crucial for thyroid functioning. So ultimately, this can lead to hypothyroidism. There have been many studies that go all the way back to the 1970s that show that skeletal issues can develop through fluoridation, and things like skeletal fluorosis, where the fluoride becomes embedded within the bone, leading to brittle bones, more fracture-prone bone, softer bone. It's just a picture that we're seeing that doesn't really support that systemic delivery of fluoride is overall beneficial for us. And then lastly, this idea within the health, wellness, and consciousness development space that the pineal gland is particularly sensitive to systemic fluoride. And from a holistic perspective, the pineal gland is an endocrine gland that can hold or trap fluoride more readily than other parts of the body. The reason that this is particularly concerning, especially within the realms of consciousness development and the advancement of individualized consciousness, is because the pineal gland is seen as our third eye. And this is a term that's not given to the pineal gland only by those interested in spirituality or spiritual development, but also within Hinduism or Eastern yogic traditions, the pineal gland is linked to the Anjas chakra, and is actually an area that allows us for the development of self-awareness, self-attunement, consciousness expansion, and the connection to a metaphysical reality beyond our physical reality that we are generally aware of. So this idea that there are systemic consequences to consuming fluoride was really, really profoundly summarized in a recent study that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And this was a publication that just came out in January of 2025. But this was a very high quality study. It was a systematic review and meta-analysis. They initially included 74 studies and ultimately through inclusion criteria ended up with 52 studies that compiled data and analysis from all over the world. So this was a multi-country study and review of these 52 studies from all over. And the take-home message was that at levels lower than those currently considered safe by the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, and World Health Organization, the current levels of water fluoridation considered safe by these organizations would cause IQ deficit in children. And based on the data that was included in this study, the amounts of water fluoridation currently considered safe by the U.S. Public Health Service would result in a 2.5% drop in IQ in children. The amounts considered safe by the World Health Organization at present would result in a 5.4% drop in IQ in children. And the amounts currently considered safe on the lower end of the range, currently recommended or advised by the EPA, would result in a 7.4% drop in IQ. So those numbers are huge. Basically, all of these global agencies claiming to look out for the highest interest of public health are recommending water fluoridation levels far beyond those that have been repeatedly scientifically proven across studies throughout the world to cause cognitive impairment and neurodegenerative consequences in the brains of children. In September of 2024, a U.S. federal court judge ruled that the EPA was responsible for re-evaluating its guidelines around safe fluoride levels in public water. In this same court case, the EPA, in spite of currently having a range they claim safe for public water fluoridation, could not state under oath that they actually knew what a safe level of water fluoridation was. So I'm going to go back to the pineal gland. And the reason I want to focus a little bit on this is because as much as there is a lot of data talking about the systemic effects, which are incredibly important, and the pineal gland is a part of that. The pineal gland is often also thought to be this bridge between our physical body and a sense of spiritual growth, spiritual development, or a metaphysical connection. And anyone who is looking to really up-level their life, up-level their body, and up-level their awareness and development of consciousness would probably be particularly interested in the effects that fluoride can play on the pineal gland. So just for some context, the pineal gland is a very small pea-sized gland that's located between the two hemispheres of your brain. And it produces melatonin, it produces serotonin, and is really on a physiological level responsible for our sleep-wake cycles or our circadian rhythms functioning properly. And as I said a little bit earlier, in ancient traditions, there is a lot of talk about the pineal gland actually also being linked to higher perception, greater self-awareness, greater development and connectedness to one's own intuition, and elevated states of consciousness. Now, fluoride has been found scientifically in the literature to accumulate in greater amounts within the pineal gland than it does in other parts of the body, such as the teeth or the bone. And this has been shown even in areas where water is not being actively fluoridated. So there was a study done in northern Thailand, and that study showed that in communities where there were higher levels of naturally occurring fluoride in the water, the people in these areas also tended to have higher rates of calcification within their pineal gland. So with age, calcification of the pineal gland has been shown to occur. And there are actually crystals called hydroxyapatite crystals, which are also found within the teeth and within the bone, that can accumulate within the pineal gland. And these crystals naturally have calcium within them and also tend to bind fluoride. So this is the idea originally behind the premise that adding fluoride to calcified structures like teeth and the calcium hydroxyapatite structures within the enamel could cause strengthening, is that the fluoride does bind and provide a hardening effect to the hydroxyapatite. But what has also been found is that the fluoride binding to the pineal gland and the crystallization that can occur within the pineal gland actually expedites or speeds up the rate of calcification of this gland. And then when the pineal gland is no longer functioning as well as it could or as it should be, because it's now becoming constricted and calcified, our sleep cycles become deregulated. We don't produce melatonin or serotonin at the levels that we should be. Our mood and mental clarity become mixed up because we're no longer sleeping well. Our sleep cycles become dysregulated, and we're not producing the hormones to help regulate our mood well. Our ability to actually tap into and to access different levels of consciousness becomes constricted. And the pineal gland is also thought to produce a compound called DMT, which molecularly and structurally is similar to serotonin. And this is one of the reasons it is believed that the pineal gland, because it produces serotonin, can actually also produce DMT or dimethyltryptamine. Now, dimethyltryptamine has been found in low quantities and low amounts in human urine, and that has continued within the realms of neurocognitive research and spiritual enhancement research and curiosity to fuel this idea that we humans are able to produce DMT, which is this compound that can produce an enhanced sense of self-awareness, awareness of the self beyond the physical body. So this sort of all-encompassing awareness of existence and of who we are within existence. And it's actually been called the God molecule or the spirit molecule. So although most people don't produce DMT in high quantities or on a regular basis or experience its effects, the idea is that DMT production within the pineal gland is technically possible for humans, and that we should consider that this is something we could and should be able to produce regularly. But because of the damage that our pineal gland is constantly undertaking, particularly in conditions where it's being assaulted with additive fluoride and its abilities and its general function is being limited with that addition. We just are not able to access those levels of consciousness enhancement and self-awareness that we otherwise could and should be able to. Many spiritual traditions saw the pineal gland as a gateway to deeper consciousness, and it's very possible that this mass medication of populations to excessive amounts of fluoride is dampening our ability to really tap in to those greater human experiences that should be available to us. Now, in the United States, RFK Jr. has been very vocal about reforming certain health policies, and removing fluoride from public water is one of these policies. He's advocating for greater transparency when it comes to certain health policies and is really calling for the removal of fluoride from public waterways so that individuals can decide for themselves whether they want to ingest and consume fluoride and can be more mindful about the concentrations that they're doing this at. Now, many countries, including the countries of Sweden, Netherlands, and Japan, have already banned water fluoridation because there are so many sources of literature that have stated there are real and imminent risks to public health. So at this point in time, it almost seems as though mass fluoridation of public water is an archaic, backdated practice, especially when we consider the source. We are literally taking industrial waste and dumping it into our public waterways and forcing people to consume it. So it doesn't really seem like water fluoridation has any place in the discussion of advancing public health, aside from the fact that it's a practice that we in North America, where we are so heavily fluoridated, really need to consider stopping. So what can we do? One would be filter your water. So find a high quality fluoride removing filter, something that is also a reverse osmosis filter, and start today by filtering your water. Do not drink tap water. Get informed. And beyond just this conversation, which is an important one, be informed about what you are consuming in general. What are you ingesting? What are you putting into your body or onto your body? Because remember, if water is fluoridated, that means we're showering with that water as well. So as much as you want to filter the water that you are drinking, if you could filter the water that you are using on the whole, that would be the best thing to do. You can also advocate for change, and there are local and national efforts that are aiming to reform public water fluoridation. And if you get involved, even on a local level, and write to or show up at public engagements that ask for your feedback on whether or not your local waterways should be fluoridated, this is one way that you could have immediate change within your community and optimize your pineal gland. And reducing overall exposure to fluoride would be one way to do this, but also detoxifying exposure that you have already had is one step closer to optimizing your pineal. So iodine-rich vegetables is one good detoxifier. Turmeric is another good detoxifier. And also getting natural light and exposing yourself to at least 5 minutes a day of natural sunlight is a good cleanse or a good detoxifier for the pineal gland. And actually, it's called your third eye. And our eyes are light reactive or light sensitive. And in many animals, their pineal glands also react, just like our own eyes react to light. The pineal gland of certain animals is light reactive. So it's just a reflection of what this gland is actually capable of beyond just us within biology in general. And light exposure, sunlight, is good for us on so many levels, including this one. So I hope you found this discussion valuable. And if you did, please be sure to like and subscribe below. And let's continue waking up to the truth about who we are, our health, our consciousness, and our ability to step into becoming superhuman. Thank you so much for your time today.